sometimes baffling but absolutely innovative world of, quote, contemporary classical music in the Czech Republic, few young composers have enjoyed the kind of success that Miroslav Srnka has. The 35-year-old's complex and greatly imaginative work has been performed far and wide by the eminent musicians and conductors of today, and he is endlessly commissioned to produce more for some of the best-known orchestras and festivals. His clear talent did not, however, emerge at an early age, and he told me how it was that he began composing when we met earlier this week in a Prague cafe.
There was kind of a personal story that made me write a huge piece, because I just needed kind of get rid of things. And this was meant probably very much just for me. And through some kind of chance, by chance, just it went to my to Milan Slavický, who became later my teacher. And it was him actually who just like told me, you should enter the Academy of Arts and study composing. And I was like saying, well, no, that's not possible. I'm not really prepared to do so. And he made me actually to do the entrance exam. And then I failed, and he made me to do so the second time. So it's his doing, actually.
What was that piece about?
It was a huge piece for two pianos, and it was never performed, and I hope it will never be performed. I just hope I destroyed all the scores. But that I just relate to that piece as a kind of real beginning of my composing.
Well, if you're embarrassed by that piece, then what were your feelings when your music was first performed publicly?
Well, I did not really feel comfortable with that at the very beginning, because what happens at the very beginning is that you rarely meet really high-profile performers for your music. So what comes out is usually not what you expect and what you imagine. And especially in that period, it's very important to hear what you wrote. And it usually does not happen. And this is very, very difficult point in the life of a composer student, let's say, because you just don't get what you need and what you want, and it's not your fault, and it's not the fault of your fellow students that try their best to perform your music. It's just kind of coincidence. And well, if you don't give up, so you come to the point where you really start to work with people who are the first class performers, and they give you a lot of feedback that is very important to you. And first then, when you have a lot of experiences like that, you can really say, this was my fault, or this was not a good performance and I want it again and better.
Thank you.
And so how did the birth of your son change your music?
Well, it gave me a reason to write music. That's it. There is nothing more than this. And that makes the music different, because you stop concentrating on the structure of the music and you start concentrating on the message in the music.
And so what messages would you say are to be found in your music?
Well, that is a very programmatic question, I would say. You know, music is for me about emotion, and this is the most important thing I try to find as a code, let's say, in music, and to put it into my music. The thing is that at one point you start seeing that the people do feel something during listening to your music. What is not important is what they feel, because they feel really different things, and they give you really different feedbacks, which is really strange. You know, they have ideas about your music that come from every possible point of view. But when you arrive to the point that the people feel kind of involved in listening to your music, so it's probably the way you should be going.
To a musical layman, how do you simply explain your music when you meet someone and you tell them that you're a composer and they want to know what kind of music you play? How can you boil it down to the lowest common denominator that a non-musicologist would easily understand?
Well, I always say that I write this unsupportable, crazy music that no one would listen to, and the people actually start to laugh, and that make them sometimes more interested than if you say that you are a serious contemporary composer. Well, it's a joke, but it has something. There is some truth in that joke, because the way to listen to contemporary music can be really straight. Sometimes you just experience a piece without any preparation, let's say, and then it just takes you and you cannot escape it anymore. That's one way. The other one is much more difficult, and this is the one that leads to be a real freak of contemporary music, and that's a very long way to go to develop kind of sensitivity of listening. And I do understand and I do respect that most of the people don't have interest or time to go that long way. On the other hand, it's really beautiful when you meet people who say, I was in that concert and that concert was for me so interesting that it made me interested in that kind of music for the rest of my life. And so this is what what happened. So it's very different to whom you speak. If you speak to the people who already made that long journey, you can be quite open in what you really do and go into the structure and really several special things. If you speak to those people who really do not appreciate it or made just one of or two of experiences like that, you cannot really talk to them in the terms we musicians do speak, because they would not understand you. So you have no other way than making jokes or try to describe some images or something like that, because generally speaking about music is very difficult, and speaking about contemporary music is a difficult power too.